sometimes he doesn't have time for those long prayers, and he says, God, just give me grace so that I don't hurt someone right now. On Wednesday, we had the homecoming parade in town. I had about 30 high school and middle school kids with me down there getting ready for the parade. And we had Dad's golf cart. And after everybody realized that all 30, well, not been on the golf cart, okay? You're going to walk through and try to corral them and keep them in some order. I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to hurt somebody. But this parade does not start soon. So I just had to walked away from it. Something I just need to walk away. But I did want to mention that on Wednesday we had a scare in our town, and involving little Jackson, and I'm not gonna give any details, but Jackson needs our prayers. But he was missing, and everybody's running around crazy, weren't they? Trying to find him. Let's go. We gotta look for him. And that's what we should do. And his daddy came looking for me. We were at Dad's house on October 3rd swimming after running on the trail. Praise God for that, October 3rd swimming. And I said to him, I said, well, we should probably get help if it's been that long. And so the community pulls together and is looking for him. And this guy, Xavier, it's in this youth group, he's sitting right here. He's on the team and was in the student council. And he's, what did he say to me? He said, hey, Pastor, you think we should pray?
Amen.
Yeah. Everyone, no one's praying. Everybody's looking. Everybody's searching. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a world pastor. Why am I not praying? Well, what? So we and some others that were there, as the others were throwing rocks and running around waiting for the parade to start. Right, Jacob? it wasn't you. So we had a moment of calm down and pray. No, what was it, Xavier? 10 minutes, Clark texted, hey, we found him. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need to stop. Praise the Lord. And I'm not sure what's going on. That little guy we love, he certainly needs our prayers. But sometimes we just need to stop, calm down, and pray. I forget to do that. God's the person. Hello, hello, I can help you. I mean, I really believe God does that. It feels like, wait a minute, you've asked everybody else, but you haven't asked me. I shared with you 2 weeks ago when we were at the meet of Ritchie County, a couple of kids on the team said they didn't believe in God. Okay, lots of people don't believe in God, right? And that caused some conflict on the team because those who did were like all crazy about it. And I said, well, we're just going to pray about it. And yesterday, we were at the meet at Apple Valley Golf Course. And right before, they play music to get kids pumped up, and get people pumped up. And they play those chicken songs and all that kind of stuff. But yesterday was interesting. At the golf course there, well, it was sponsored by West Fairmont, they were playing Christian music. And right before these guys were in, they were playing Good Father. And I was like, wow, they're playing Good Father before we run this 2.1 mile race. That's awesome. And I just kind of stopped for a minute. And quite honestly, I knew what God wanted me to share. They didn't have a title for it. Good Father. He's our good shepherd, right? And what's interesting is we're on our way home. One of those girls from last week said she didn't believe in God. She said, hey, coach, do you have any of those church songs on your phone? Well, we got him on this radio right here, Kayla. We're going to listen to Kayla on the radio. And she didn't say anything about it. She listened. She didn't say anything about it. And we get back, and she said, we're getting ready to get out of the car. And I thought she might have some interesting thought about this music there was. And I was singing along, and she was kind of laughing. I was singing along. So before she gets out, she said, you know how I finished that race today? I said, how? She goes, your big mouth. That's what she said. I said, well, hey, whatever it takes. And that big mouth of mine, I remember the doctor saying, don't yell or scream, because that could cause a mesh problem. Maybe that caused my problem. She just got a, she goes, your big mouth, you just got it cut out. And she kind of giggled and got out of the car. But I took that as a compliment, because she's way back there in the woods. I didn't know where she was, and I kept saying, go. All those things I say. And when I used to coach before, these other coaches just thought I was a complete crazy man. And so I'm back, right? But that encourages kids. I think it really encourages us. And so sometimes we don't know what we're saying. Sometimes we don't know what we will say might cause someone's attitude to change. But when there's trouble, I mean, they reminded me of that. We have trouble. Stop and pray before we start calling everybody else. Call on the one who can help us, that good, good Father, our good, good Shepherd. And so this morning, we're reminded of this God who loves us. And he sent his son Jesus, who loved us too, to kind of corral all the people, right? And not everybody got it. Not everyone was understanding and believing. So this morning, just a reminder of who this God is on this Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And I certainly, again, appreciate you appreciating me. But do we appreciate the good, good Shepherd for all that he does? And after he was found, I was praising and thanking God that he was found, right? Do we do that? Do we thank the good, good Shepherd, our good, good Father, with the answer to our prayers? So in John chapter 5, we're going to look at the first 15 verses. I was thinking this morning, man, this is going to be tough to keep people focused, right? Sometimes we have a hard time focusing, and I've noticed, and it's okay. It's been hot in here. When people are hot, they start to doze off. So I sometimes get a little bit louder or wrap it up. But today, it's not that hot in here, but we're dealing with all kinds of smells of food. So I'll try to wrap this up so you can have some food, okay? So as we look at this morning, This is actually John chapter 10, and we're starting verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7 says, therefore Jesus said again, verily, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. So, you know, there's Jesus, and that's what he was sent to do. People weren't listening to him, okay? Just like a bunch of animals, sometimes corralling a bunch of middle school and high school kids, right? Or little kids, right? And trying to get everybody on the same page and doing what they should be doing and going where they should be going. And Jesus said again that, you know, I'm the gate for the sheep. God sent me here to corral all the sheep, the people, right? And so it goes on here to say, but the sheep haven't listened. We sometimes don't listen. When God says, hey, if you need me, call upon me. When you're in trouble, ask me. Do not be afraid, I'm always with you. We sometimes forget that, right? Tragic things happen and we're scared. We do. We should rally together, gather our friends and community. But we need to ask God for his help first. It says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And that's what Jesus' ministry was all about. If you listen to me, you'll be saved. Okay? And you'll find your way to heaven. God has prepared a place for you. You know, I did this funeral the other day, and I didn't particularly know. I knew of the person that passed away. I knew her, all of her siblings, but I really didn't know her that well, and that's really who asked me to do the funeral. And so I said that I would. Kayla and Aaron, I have a connection with them, and Eddie Martin, Benita, I know all those people. So the lady didn't have a church, had moved away for a while, had been sick, but anyway, they asked me to come do the funeral. And when I went there the night before to visit, I realized, oh my gosh, I had both her kids in school. Nancy Cool and I had that girl together in third grade that year, and I helped her with reading. And quite honestly, this girl was out of it. She made some horrible mistakes and had a drug problem now. And I couldn't stop thinking about that. And she was a mess the night before, and at the funeral, she said she wanted to talk, and I said, I don't know. Do you remember me? And we'd already talked about that the night before. I said, yes, I do remember. Because I remember you in the third grade. And so anyway, at the end of the funeral, she was kind of upset with me that I didn't let her get up and talk. But she was really in no condition to do so.
So I said, I tell you what, when we get to the grave site, if you want to say something, how about you in? I'll do my part and you in. And she got up and all she said was that she loved her mom and made horrible decisions, but she found some peace thinking about, wow. And I talked about in that service about, if you believe, God will prepare a place for you, and you'll go acquire that place or be in that place when your time comes. That's our goal. And everything that I'm doing, trying to help people understand Jesus loves you, God loves you, but if you want to get to God or get to heaven, you got to go through the gate. You got to believe in me. That's simple. The thief comes only to steal and kill. We know that, right? The devil tries to take away our joy, discourage us, defeat us. Man, I think about all the ministry and time with Billy Wayne when I would go and to the beach or go spend time with others. It's been worn out sometimes. And I'll never forget this one time. We probably had 30 college kids here that had just graduated and were helping us with, we're trying to help, or still part of ministry and trying to do things here. And I remember telling Billy, we went to IA camp. IA camp, man. I got that shirt that says, I survived IA camp. Basically, everybody thought they had lice, remember? And I said, wait a minute. I'm a lice professional. That is not lice. So everybody needs to calm down after we've already quarantined the place and sent everybody away. And the food was horrible that year for some reason. So we made these shirts. I survived IA camp. And number one was lice. Not really, okay? But we survived IA camp. And I told Billy, I said, listen, I'm just worn out. We had 100 kids. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I just can't do it by myself. He said, what are you talking about? Look around. You got David Ray Harris and Sherry Barnes and Jerry Brown. What are you talking about? Your help's already here. And man, just hearing that from him, wow. I need to be at IA camp. And I was just really, and when you go to IA camp, that'll wear you out. Because there's lots of kids there. We ended up, brought some kids back to Shinston, legally and illegally. We had to take them and turn them out, right? Because we didn't want to go home. You know, and lots of kids stay at my house at times that didn't want to go back home. Not a whole lot of love to go back to. And so we surround them with love and tell them about Jesus. And they go back home and they're told, you're horrible. You don't amount to anything. Go back to that Billy Lane and that Pastor Kevin. Yeah. Well, that's what we're here to do. Help people get through the gate, right? But the enemy, sometimes that is destroyed. And that's, for me, was one of the most difficult things to deal with, and especially in youth ministry. We're loving on them, teaching them, and they go back home, and the devil's really, and these kids have made decisions, and the devil's really after them and trying to discourage them, and they go back home, and they're not really encouraged. And wow, it's awesome to see people doing as God would have them to do, but the devil tries to defeat us. I've seen that happen so many times, especially in young people. They're not loved in an environment of Christian people to help them do that, right? To grow in their faith. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what Jesus did for his people. He did that for us, right? Laid down his life. He's the good shepherd. God is our good, good father, and, you know, our good, good shepherd. Jesus came to lay his life down for us. You know, and I always think about, again, in my ministry here, I'd do anything for anybody in this room, do anything for anybody in the community. I don't know if I'd lay my life down for him or not, but honestly, if God called me to do that, right? We're to do what God calls us to do. And Jesus did exactly what he was called to do, to come here. It talks about the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Does God do that? Jesus said, I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. But we're human sometimes. We make bad decisions. And we try to go find lost people without asking God to help us first, right? We try to do things on our own sometimes. But God says he'll never leave us. He'll never abandon us. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now let's focus on that this morning. If we don't remember or can't think of anything else, and all you're thinking about is lasagna right now, there's no chicken. Right? I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. See, God knows everything about you. He knows everything you're going to go through and everything he's going to bring you through this week. God already knows. You got your calendar book, you got your phone, the notes, and all that going on in your iPad and such. God knows all about you. He knows his sheep. He knows what you're going to go through this week. And he knows what you're going to need to ask him for. He knows that. Okay? He knows his sheep. And his sheep know me. Do we know him? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the good shepherd, right? Jesus knows his people and would do anything for him, lay his life down for him. And I think about, for me today on pastor appreciation, I'm just trying to be a good shepherd. Because all these people that God's put in my path, that was a responsibility that I, when I said yes to this, realizing that this is not just a paid position because it isn't, right? I mean, you certainly take care of me now. I'm thankful for that. I'll just say that this morning. I'm thankful for this church for taking care of me. And honestly, I'm thankful to this church for taking care of my insurance. Because I told you I've never been in an ambulance before. And wow. I'm thankful for that this morning. And so God's called me. You've asked me to be the shepherd here. Trying to do my best. I'm certainly thankful for what God tells us to do. I saw this little story. It's not really a joke, I guess, but there was this guy, and had some serious heart problems. And he was in the hospital, and the doctor said, "You got to keep this guy calm. You know, keep him calm. Don't do anything to him. Don't say anything to him that's going to get him riled up." Okay? And so the family said, "Okay, well, we'll try to keep him calm because he's got some heart issues, and we just got to keep him calm while he's there in the hospital." So the guy's in the hospital. His uncle had died, and the guy that's in the hospital is supposed to be calm. He's going to get $1 million from the inheritance from his uncle. So the family's thinking, "Oh, wow, should we tell him or not tell him?" And, well, someone in the family had come in and told him that he'd won $1 million, right? And, you know, they didn't really want to know, but someone did. So they said, "We're going to have to call a pastor. We're going to have to call a pastor. Get the pastor in here and see if they can keep him calm." So they called the pastor. They told the pastor what's going on. He said, "Okay, well." So he went in, and before he could say anything, the guy said, "Pastor, what would you do if I told you I was going to give you, that I was given $1 million, and I'm just going to give it to the church?" The pastor had a heart attack and died right there on the floor. Now that's just a joke or a story. I found it in this stuff on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. But the whole moral or thought of that was, they need to keep this guy calm. So they called the pastor. They needed some help. They called the pastor. Well, thank you. And when you call the pastor, I'll do my best to be a good shepherd, right? But I'm thankful this morning that even as the good shepherd of all of you and trying to do my best, that I have a good shepherd that I can go to. Amen. And I ask him to help me. Amen. In all, whatever it is. When I get up, I'm like, "God, I need your help. I don't know what you got planned for me today, but you're the good shepherd. You're my good father. And I know that you're going to help me today." Do you appreciate that this morning?
Amen.
Boy, God's doing all these things in this church. I've watched him do all these things in the, 49 years that I've been here. God has certainly given me. But to be thankful for him. I thank you for being a part of what God's doing here. A good shepherd. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. God, I thank you again for this church. And God, I could just get up and share all kinds of stories, especially with Billy Wayne and the ministry we've done together, and kids we've prayed with and cried with and taken care of and fed and, oh, wow, and provided shelter for. But God, that's what you call us to do, to be a good shepherd, to take care of the people that you put in our lives. And God, I thank you for all the people that you put in my life. I'm trying my best to be a good shepherd to take care of. But God, thank you for being the ultimate shepherd, for taking care of us on a daily basis. God, we're thankful here this morning. As we come, yeah, we come to appreciate our pastor, but God, we come to appreciate the God that we know, the God that we serve, the God that loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. That we believe, we want to enter through that gate to be with you someday. We have to believe. So I pray this morning, if there's anybody here that's never surrendered their heart to you, God, never given their heart to Jesus, God today. They're not sure. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I pray that they would make sure. Maybe we need to make a decision to join the church, be baptized, or maybe you're calling us to be a part of ministry here at this church or somewhere else. God, many of us have these burdens we keep bringing in here every week and dragging them around all week long. God, you tell us to surrender, bring everything to the shepherd. God, we love you this morning. I pray as Billy sings, whatever you're calling us to do, we respond accordingly. God, thank you for being my shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.